As we enter this fourth wave of this pandemic, I've been, well, even before, I've been noticing a kind of shift in the arguments that are out there, commentaries, sermons, and so forth, regarding the reason for this pandemic. There seems to be a leaning towards this concept of this harsh God of the Old Testament who is wreaking out or punishing the world for its evil. As Brother Vic just read in Isaiah, God did say and does say that he will punish the world for its evil. So there's this concept out there that this is the work of this cruel and, you know, stringent God of the Old Testament once more punishing the world for its evil. But as we enter this season, holiday season, just in another 2 weeks to 3 weeks, as we enter the fall festival, and the first one of them being the Feast of Trumpets, where we observe the return of Jesus Christ, how many people do really know the Messiah who is coming back, who he is, who he really is? So what I want to really explore today is, and the sermon title is, Jesus Revealed. Who is this God of the Old Testament that people have such a great misconception about? Who is he really? Is he Yahweh? Is he Yeshua? We're going to go into some scriptures, which I hope to flush out some of this misconception. Christopher Hitchens, a best-selling atheist writer, his books have sold millions on the New York Times bestseller list, have been there for quite a while. In one of his books, he said this about the God of the Old Testament. He says, the God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction. Jealous and proud of it. A petty, unjust, unforgiving control freak. A vindictive, bloodthirsty, ethnic cleanser. A misogynistic, homophobic, racist, infanticidal, genocidal, pestilential, capriciously malevolent bully. That's how he described Yahweh. And people have gobbled down this, those who are on the fence of whether there is a God or agnostic or atheist, they have gobbled down this diatribe, this foolishness. And so the concept pervades and it survives, especially in an atmosphere like this, when this planet has been battling a pandemic for the past 18 months or so. And as one wave finishes, we hear of another. And there's so much dislocation, there's so much hopelessness, our leaders are in a tailspin. Some of them have practically given up, they don't know what to do. But that's the reality of our day, because we're going to focus in the coming weeks on the return of Jesus Christ, because that is where our hope lies. But this concept, I just thought I'd try to clear it up, because you're going to come across it very often in your listening and your hearing and so on. So first I want to make a statement and I want to back it up by scripture. And I've heard testimonies from people of different religious persuasion in Christendom, which has some 40,000 different denominations. I've heard people make these claims and they stood up to it. And they believe that whatever they experienced was or is true. But no human being has ever set eyes on Yahweh. No one has seen God, the Father. All those who make that claim are going contrary to the word of God. So who was this God who appeared in the Old Testament that people have so many misconceptions about? This harsh and vindictive God who just likes to see people suffer. He's looking out on the world now and see all these terrible sinners writhing and some are dying and some are in agony. Some have been afflicted with strokes and blood clots in the brain and so on. That he takes pleasure in seeing all of this. That is what is out there. That is what is creeping on into the minds of people. We know that there are instances in the Old Testament when angels appear to human beings. That's fact. And there are even instances too where the God of the Old Testament revealed himself in some form in order to interact with human beings. That is a fact as well. We know that happens. But is Jesus revealed in the Old Testament? That's what I'm really want to get into. Is he revealed in the Old Testament? If you believe Yahweh has appeared to you or to anyone, there's a contradiction in the scriptures for that. And you have to argue with the scriptures. It's pretty clear. John 1:18, we can look at that. No one has seen God at any time. That's Jesus Christ's statement. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him, or he has revealed him, as some translations put it. And Jesus also said, and the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. John 5:37. So these are definitive statements from the scriptures that no one has seen Yahweh or even have heard his voice. So you go to the Old Testament, brethren, and you see all of these instances where God is talking to people, to the prophets, and you've seen situations where he appears. So who is this? Has Judaism missed out on this completely or what? What? I mean, to them, there's just God the Father. They have rejected Jesus Christ. So, brethren, I'll stick to Romans 3:4. I'll stick to Romans 3:4. With all those testimonies that have contradicted the scriptures, I will say, let God be true and every man a liar. Because we know Hebrews 1 tells us that God has spoken to us in these last days through his Son. And his Son, the Christ, has given us the word. And this is the word that we are reading from. So the scriptures are clear. Now let's look at some examples where we see God's indirect interaction with human beings in the Old Testament. And the first one is in Genesis 3, 9, 10. Yes, Genesis 3, 9. Then the Lord God called out to Adam. So he called him Adam. Adam. And he said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself. You know, growing up as a child, you read this, I too pictured that this God was God the Father. This old patriarch, you visualize him as some gray-haired, powerful being. Adam was a man. Go back to John 1:18, John 5:37. So you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. Just bear that in mind. But Adam clearly heard God's voice. You can look at Exodus 3:33-11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. As a man speaks to his friend. Moses clearly heard God's voice. That's what the scripture is saying. Face to face, he spoke to him. It's like you're listening to your radio or wherever, a dialogue. Genesis 2:16. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. That's a command again. Must have been audible. And God said unto Noah, Genesis 6:13, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So God interact with Noah. He said unto Noah, he told him, the end of all flesh is come before me. Genesis 12:1. And the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show you. Again, interaction with Abram. When Abram was 90 years old, or Abram, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty One. Walk before me and be perfect. Again, you read this, just easily assume this is God the Father. But no man has heard his voice. Verse 18 says, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. So, brethren, we see these verses and we can glean from it what's happening here. So there are many parts in the Old Testament where the phrase, and this is where it becomes very interesting. So there are many parts in the Old Testament where we see the angel of the Lord appearing. We see the definite article, the angel of the Lord appearing to human beings. Equally, there are many parts in the Old Testament where an angel of the Lord appeared to humans. There's a big difference, and we're going to see that as I try to tell you or show you how Jesus is revealed in the Old Testament. Verse 11 of Genesis 22. And the angel of the Lord called out unto him out of heaven. And he said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. So this is God speaking, from me. And it says, the angel of the Lord called out to him. So this is definitely a member of the God family here speaking to Abraham. And if no man has heard the voice of Yahweh, then in this instance, it must be the other member of the family, the son, Yeshua. Exodus 3 is a well-known, powerful story as well, giving testament to what I'm saying here. Exodus 3, verse 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And verse 2 says, the angel, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. The angel appeared unto Moses in this bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see. And God called out unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh, or don't come near me. Put off your shoes from off your feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am. And notice this phrase. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Some have argued that in this instant, it could have been God the Father. Now, we have to understand how God works. We have always taught in the church that God is a family. They're incomplete. Although God the Father, in most instances, described as the Almighty One. And Jesus himself acknowledged that he's greater than himself. But there are, if you understand how the Godhead works in complete unison with each other, and this is one of the reasons why it has been so difficult for some people to grasp the God of the Old Testament, that what really happens, the concept of a father is there. Because the father talks about his children. That is all over this Old Testament. So the concept of the father is there. But it is not the theme of the Old Testament. When we come to the New Testament now, and we see Jesus talking about this father, that is when we see it takes on a different dimension. And we can understand now the father-son relationship. So we don't see that in the Old Testament. And that is why, brethren, when we reject the New Testament, as some people, you know, like even the Jewish people, it's hard and challenging to accept some of what the continuation of the Old Testament is into the New Testament, and to see Jesus's position in all of this and why he is very God, not a created being, but very God. Verse 10 say, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were. This is a different text here, because there are points, and I'm coming to some of them, where Israel had a glimpse of God. But in what form? We'll see that. Just bear in mind as we go along, that when it talks about the angel of the Lord, it is referring not to an angel. An angel of the Lord, yes. But the angel of the Lord, in many instances, in most of the instances, it has to do with Jesus Christ. We have the situation we have the Melchizedek part of it too, the pre-incarnate Christ, or this person who has neither beginning of days or end of days. Exodus 33, verse 18. Now, Moses was very ambitious. Victor, I don't know if he was arrogant. But Moses, and many of us, I guess, you know, Moses was a bold prophet. Moses wanted to see God, right? Show me your face. I want to see you. I mean, I've been interacting with you. I want to show you. So in verse 33, he said, show me your glory. I don't think Moses had a clue what he was asking about. Because no human being can really see God's glory and live. No one can look at him and live. And that's why that's the very reason why we can't look at God. Because his countenance is brighter than the sun. And we can't even look at the sun. So it's natural. If you look at God, you'll just die. You can't see him. You can't see him in his glory. But let's give it to Moses. He was very ambitious. He wanted to see God's glory. And he said in verse 19, Exodus 33, I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And he said, Moses, you cannot see my face. For there shall be no man see me and live. You know, we're experiencing a caller to my home for the past 2 years. A lady. It has become an annoying thing now. Because when she called the first time, she called me excited. And she said, you know, oh, wow, I saw Jesus. One Sunday evening, I was coming up and I saw Jesus in the clouds. Go to my website and you can see his face clearly. So I said, you see, saw Jesus? And I go through some of these scriptures. She said, yes, yes. And I went to the website. I saw nothing. All I saw was a dark sky and a little flicker of a light. And I said, well, you know, this mystery of one of those, you know. But that woman has been calling up to last, what, Thursday? Or one day this week. She has been calling my house for the past 2 years. Telling me she's had a miracle in her life. She has seen Jesus. And I keep telling her over and over, no, that's not Jesus. You can't see Jesus and live. But I can't convince her. So you know what we have to do at home now? Believe me, she has made dozens of calls. I have to write down the number. And when we call, we tell everybody in the house, when you see this number, don't bother answer the phone. Because it doesn't make sense. She's not listening and she keep, she's coming back with the same old story every week. Every time she calls, the same old story. And she not seem to be recalling. So I suspect she have a problem. So I sympathize with her. But, you know, we've been trying to tell her, no, you can't see God. So, and God said, Moses, you cannot see my face, for there shall be no man that see me and live. This is the word of God. It's in here. If anyone, and I don't care who it is, who claims otherwise, you're contradicting the scriptures. Because if you want to look at it physically, it's still not possible. You cannot look at God and live. You're gonna burn up maybe in the flesh. You can't see God. And the Lord said, okay, Moses, I'm gonna be a little reasonable with you. He said, behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass when my glory passes, then I will put in a cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. In other words, I'm going to give you a little glimpse, not even of my face. I'm just going to pass by. You know, when a hurricane blowing through and you get a little tip of the wind or something, just a little, just to appease you. And I will take my hand away and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face you shall not see. So we see from these experiences, God making appearances to humanity. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. God interacts with human beings, but not on a way you can see him, in different ways, and some of them we'll touch on. So that happens, not taking away from that. But when you come and tell me that you see God, you know, in my teenage years, I remember back in Jamaica, there was this man preaching in Halfway Tree in Kingston, and I went out there, and I wasn't surprised. I was the only one listening to him. Nobody else was listening. Everybody was passing by, just, you know, and he has his microphone and he was preaching. So after he preached, I went up to him and we started talking. And he said to me, I can never forget. He said he has seen God. He said he fasted for 40 days. That's what he told me. And I was at home. And at the end of those 40 days, God appeared to me. I look at him in the face. That's what the man told me. I was moved by that because I didn't know better. I was really moved by that. I was really impressed. I said, wow, inspired me. Maybe I should fast for 40 days so he can appear to me. That was my thought. Brethren, God's countenance is much brighter than the sun. Here's an interesting story, Numbers 12, verse 1. Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And he said, has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now, the man Moses was very meek. So he wasn't arrogant, very humble man. Above all men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and Aaron and unto Miriam. He says, come out, you three, into the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out. So there's some little things going on, right? And the Lord came down in a pillar of the cloud and stood in the doorway of the tabernacle. Now, you can imagine that. The Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. Who is this? Yahweh? No. This is can't be Yahweh. Because nobody's going to hear his voice or can hear his voice. And he called out to Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak him to him in a dream. So we see all those interactions. Pillar, a cloud, a pillar of the cloud, in a vision, or even in a dream. You've seen several instances in the Old Testament where God appeared to people in dreams, yes. Not saying that every dream you have is from God. I've heard people come to me and say, you know, I have a dream about this and that, and this is going to happen. It doesn't happen. So I say, well, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. So God appeared as a pillar, and he called out to them. Who was this? Was this Yahweh or Yeshua? Judges 13, a very interesting story. The birth of Samson. Another mighty man of God. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them in the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bearing not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, unto the woman, and said to her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not of any unclean thing. So the story goes on. In verse 9, and God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. So she was out there in the field. An angel appeared to her. And her husband was not there. She was there alone. And verse 10 says, the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, behold, the man appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. So here's a man appeared. And Manoah rose and went after his wife. And they came to the man and said unto him, art thou the man that spake unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her be aware. She may not eat of anything that comes of the vine. So this is Nazarene. Neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing, all that I commanded her to observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt not offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? That when thy saying come to pass, that we may honor you. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why are you asking thus for my name, seeing it is a secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and his wife than Manoah knew he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die. We shall surely die. Why? Because we have seen God. The manifestation of God. They didn't see God in his glory. They couldn't. They see a manifestation where he appeared as a man. Another manifestation was as he appeared as a pillar of cloud. And so on. So we see the different manifestations of God appear and interact with human beings. But was that God the Father? No. Yahweh, the Father, was not revealed very often in the Old Testament. There are just a few places there, are some scriptures that we see that, 2 Samuel 7, Psalm 2, I can't go to all of them, Isaiah 9 and so on. It speaks of the Father, they speak of the Father. We don't know exactly why not. But when we come to the New Testament, that we see the full revelation of Yahweh by Christ the Son. So, he said he has clearly, Jesus says clearly that no one can see him. Matthew 1, 27. He says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. Everything has been given to me of my Father. And no man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son would reveal him. So in other words, Jesus is saying that he's the one revealing the Father to us. He goes on further in another scripture to say that no one can come to him, Jesus, unless the Father draws him. So we can see how these scriptures make sense. Just reading them probably don't, you go over it, you don't really get the gist of it. That Jesus now, and this is why Jesus had so much problem with the Pharisaical order when he came to earth. Because he was making these outrageous, in their view, these outrageous claim to be the Son of God and the I Am. That is why they were so turned off and ready to slaughter him for making such claim. Because what was their concept? Their concept was only the God that was in the Torah basically was Yahweh the Father. But how unfortunate it is that they have rejected the one who would have revealed to them and opened their eyes to see who the God of the Old Testament, who did the creation. Like in Genesis, when he talks about let us make man in our image, that there's a hint there that God the Father is mentioned there. But then he, Philippians or Colossians 1, tells us that he spoke on Jesus Christ, the spokesman. John 1, 1, he did the creation. So Jesus is saying that no one basically, that maybe the concept was there. We see, as I said, Jesus in the Old Testament, he mentioned several times about God and the children and his children. So we see that concept of father there. It's not hidden, that is there. But as to his role in the redemptive plan of God, we did not see that manifest fully until we come to the New Testament when Jesus Christ walked this earth. So we're going to go to the New Testament now to get a clearer picture of who this being that was appearing to people in the Old Testament. And we just touch on John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. In the start of everything was the Word. And who was this Word? This Word was with someone. He was with Yahweh. And not only that, this Word was also God, part of this family, this unit, this Elohim. The Elohim mean the mighty ones. That's one of the rendition of Elohim, the mighty ones. So he was with him in the beginning. If they had a dwell, you know, they didn't have a beginning. They're self-existent. But in our thinking, in our relation to time, we can talk about a beginning, but they had no beginning. No end of days, no beginning of days. So we knew as well from Genesis 1 and John 1:1 that there were more than one, the mighty ones, the Elohim. We also know that in Psalm 110, that's another hint, that the Lord said unto my Lord, right? The God said unto my God, sit at thy right hand and I will make thy enemies thy footstool. Again, we see more than one presence there of God, the Father and God, the Son. So in verse 14 of John 1, we can see where the Word is clearly identified as Jesus Christ. Let's read it. The Word became flesh. Another translation from Strong's for this word is spokesman. That's one of them. I know some churches have it that it's a thought. The people who believe in Jesus only, you know, they have a group of people called Jesus only. They just say Jesus alone. No Father, nothing, just Jesus alone. They call themselves Jesus only. It's a group of Pentecostals. I had some study with them some years ago, and they said, no, the Word is not the spokesman. The Word is not, doesn't mean spokesman. You can look up it in Strong's, it's there. But they said it's a thought. So God was just a thought. Jesus was just a thought that God had. Don't know how to explain that. But this clearly says the Word became flesh and dwelt and tabernacled among us. Who did that? Jesus Christus. Yeshua HaMashiach. And who was this Word? He was with God from the beginning in our reckoning of time. So this Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory only as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Perfect match to Jesus Christ. So we see from here that this God that was with Yahweh from the beginning is none other than Jesus Christ. Now, he had a very interesting conversation with the Jews. And we're going to John 8. We're going to look at this. In verse 18, he says, I am one that bear witness of myself. Right? I come here as a witness of this one that was promised. Genesis 49:10, the Shiloh, or Deuteronomy talks about the prophet to come. So I bear witness of myself, and the Father has sent me bearing witness of me. So, the Father. So here now we start seeing this relationship clearly being exemplified in the New Testament of this father. We weren't hearing much about him except for some few references like from Isaiah 9 and so on. But now we see now Jesus, the Son of God, talking about this father. You can see now why in Judaism, you know, you reject the Messiah or you reject Jesus Christ, you cannot grasp this concept. You cannot grasp the concept of the New Testament. You can't. You'll reject it. But it's here. He said, I came. I am the one that bear witness of myself, that the Father sent me to bear witness of me. In other words, he sent me into the world as a witness. Then they said unto him, where is your father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my father. If you had known me, you would also have known my father. Perfect unity, perfect harmony here, demonstrating. Then they said unto him, then who are you? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I've been telling you, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. So he's testifying now of this father. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. He's telling the world now about this father. They understood not that they speak to him of the father. They couldn't grasp it. It flew over their heads. Then Jesus said unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and I do nothing of myself, but as my Father had taught me. So he's talking about his Father now. He's bringing it into full, hopeful recognition by those whom he had interaction with, that indeed there's one greater than me. He is the Father. He is Yahweh. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And he spake these words, and as he spake these words, many believed on him. I know that you are Abraham's seed. So he acknowledged that you're the seed of Abraham, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Come today to kill him again, tell you that. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and that you do which you have seen with your father. And they answered unto him and said, Abraham is our father. But Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you what? The truth, which I have heard of God, of Yahweh. This did not Abraham mean. Abraham didn't do that, didn't seek to kill anybody. You do the seed, you do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. So they're reading unto scriptures and sacred holy texts what they had, and they didn't realize that this was the God that had interacted with them in many parts of those scriptures that they were reading. They couldn't figure it out. And Jesus said unto him, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Then they said to him, the Jews said unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead. And the prophets, and now you say, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. So you can see from here that their reasoning was way off. They were on cloud nine. They ask, they get curious. I find this so interesting. Are you greater than our father Abraham? Who is dead? And the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father. So when I read this, one of the thoughts that occurred to me is this. Why the Father in the Old Testament is not brought fully into recognition? Is it because at that time in the Old Testament, there were no spiritual promises made to Israel? They were all physical. They were all physical. But here is Jesus now coming on the scene in the New Testament, and he's making, as we'll, when you read your New Testament, you see that spiritual promises of what lies ahead. Was it that deliberate by God not to reveal the Father then, because the redemptive plan, while the foundation was laid, it was not brought fully, was not brought out fully by all the pronouncements and all the miracles that we see happening? We look at what happened when Israel was leaving or in the wilderness. We see God appearing as a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. Who was that? Jesus Christ, of course. We see all those instances. He was there with them every single day. But their concept, the concept of a Father guiding them was not clear. It's not clear in the Old Testament. If you come to the realization that Jesus was the God of the Old Testament. Because, as I said, the concept out there by a wider society, that this was God the Father. But the scriptures don't point to that. Now, look at these texts again. How Jesus is reaffirming that he was the God of the Old Testament. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say he is he, or that he is your God. Yet you have not known him. Who? You have not known him. That's a big, powerful statement. You claim that you honor your Father. Jesus is telling, no, you don't know him. You don't. I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like you. But I know him, and I keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Wow. So this person knew Abraham. Of course. And he saw it. And he was glad. And then again, they're off. They really can't get this concept. Then said the Jews unto him, wait, you're not yet 50 years old, and you claim that you see Abraham? You see the reasoning, brethren? You're way out. It is no wonder why Israel today still can't accept Jesus as Messiah. It is the same reasoning. They just can't grasp it. There's a teaching, and it's something I promised. I came across it this weekend, something I promised to really go into. I don't know if you know of the term progressive revelation. Progressive revelation, as taught by some church, and this is what they use to dismiss a lot of contradictions that they have in their teaching. They teach that God progressively reveals things to humanity. So in the time, for example, of the apostles, they didn't know about the Trinity because God wasn't ready to reveal the Trinity to them yet. So after they die and so on, God revealed the Trinity now in the fourth century. That is an example of progressive revelation. So they use some of these arguments now to say that, well, God wasn't ready to reveal the Father to the earth, to humanity in the Old Testament. He would do it progressively. He would wait until Jesus come in the New Testament to reveal it to humanity. That's their reasoning. But it's something I really want to look into, because I think it's erroneous. While it, you know, it satisfies here these arguments, but it's erroneous to think that, you know, the Bible tells us that God doesn't change. The same one yesterday, today, and forever. But they claim that progressive revelation takes care of arguments like this. Now, he's going on. Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Boy, a very, very profound statement. This is the I am. Moses. Moses asked, when I go to Pharaoh, what am I going to tell him? What's your name? Who am I going to tell him send me to make this very demanding, or made this demand to release all these slaves in Egypt? The I am. That's who I am. I am. And I am, brethren, as we may just think it's just a two-word phrase. It's a very, you look up the meaning of this phrase, it's packed with all kind of meaning. But Jesus reinforced now this God of the Old Testament. He said, I am the I am. That's what basically what he's saying. And guess what? This is not unexpected. They took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. There's another meaning to this, you know, is an example for us. Jesus could have stood up to them. But you know what? He slipped quietly away and he went away. Sometimes we are in situation and we say, you know what? We must confront the situation. We must deal with it. Jesus could have done that too, but he didn't. He slipped. He said he hid himself. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Do you mean that Jesus lived before Abraham? Yes, 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 yes. And he infuriated the angry Jewish mob. Because, brethren, I am is a divine title of God. And he made that claim that I am the I am. They couldn't grasp it. Because their concept of the God of the Torah is different from what this fellow or Messiah who came here making these outrageous demands. They could not grasp that, and that is why they ended up crucifying him, because he upset everyone. So I am is a divine title. And what it basically means is that this being has eternally existed. That's one of the meaning. Eternal existence. The I am. So not only that Jesus identified himself as the God of Abraham, and likewise Isaac and Jacob, but he said he was the I am. He said he was the I am. And the Apostle Paul reinforces Christ's identity as the God of the Old Testament in 1 Corinthians 10, 1. We can read that, 1 Corinthians 10, 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses, or baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Jesus Christ. So Paul reinforced that rock, and this is why Christ is the rock. He's referred to the rock. He was there throughout their journey in the wilderness, following them, and with later interactions with all their prophets, major and minor. That was the rock, Christ. So when he appeared to Moses in the burning bush, Exodus 3:14, he said, I am who I am, the eternal one, the one that existed, that don't have a beginning of days. So we can see from this now why Jesus can say in the New Testament, or make claim to the title that I am the I am. And the religious order of the day could not deal with that. They could not accept that. But yes, and why we can understand Romans 8, I believe, talks about blinding the eyes of the Jews in order to save them, because if he had revealed himself to them, now they would reject him. And that's why we put emphasis on this, well, not enough as we should, I believe. We talk about this calling, that no man can come to Jesus Christ unless the Father opens that mind and draw that person. He's the one doing the calling. So you can tell Sister Agnes, or Brother John, or Brother Tom, about Jesus Christ and his saving grace shed for the blood of all humanity. You could tell them from now until thy kingdom come, there's some of them who will not accept it because their minds have not been opened. So I am means that Jesus has eternally existed. The Hebrew word is the haya, to exist eternally. So Christ can easily identify himself as the I am. The God who provided water out of a rock for the Israelites, who protected them day and night, pillar of cloud. So it's clear in the Old Testament, a divine being who identified himself as God and the Lord had interaction with people. We remember one time there in the scriptures too, he was wrestling whole night with this angel of the Lord. And we often wonder, you know, who could that be? The Melchizedek, this priest who had neither end of days nor beginning of days. And we come into the Hebrew, when we read Hebrews, now we get the understanding that this is the high priest. Or the chief high priest, if you want to use that term, Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ. So we have to understand that one of the reasons why Jesus came is to reveal this Father, to tell us more about him. We see in Daniel, for example, we get a glimpse too of the Ancient of Days. It's mentioned that in one of those Daniel chapters. So we got a glimpse that he was there. But the redemptive plan wasn't being brought out in the Old Testament clearly. Yes, the prophecy, the minor and the major prophets had major prophecies to come. But when we come to understanding of Jesus' role when he came here, that he paved the way for us to claim some of those promises, then we begin to see the redemptive plan fully coming out. And we can understand now that Father-Son relationship. We have the Father, we have the Son. The Son is going to marry the bride, the church, and we are the children. We are the children. We can see that now coming out clearly. Now, Jesus is clear, as we went back earlier, we read, is being called the Word. Here, additionally, we can learn something else from John 1:1, that basically his existed from the beginning, existed with another being, Yahweh, and that he himself is also God, the Logos, the Word Logos, makes a lot of sense. So this spokesman, yes, is with us today. We are going to celebrate the coming festivals of trumpets and the atoning sacrifice. He's the one returning. The atoning sacrifice that he made for humanity on the Day of Atonement. And then we are going to go into the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the hope for humanity, to take it out of this pandemic and other terrible things that are going to happen. So we see that redemptive plan, how it's going to really, really play out, really, really fulfill these prophecies. So the other question is, that reinforces this concept of Jesus being the God of the Old Testament in most instances is who actually did the creation. Who actually did the creation. So we know in Genesis 1, the story again, that God, Yahweh, gave the Son, let us make man in our own image. And we see the command was carried out. And we know before his human birth, Jesus was the one who created all things. Ephesians 3:9 says God created all things through Jesus Christ. God created all things through Jesus Christ, the Word, under his direction, under his direction. Colossians 1:16 says, for by him, Yeshua, all things were created. So you mean all of those wonderful things that we read about in the creative in Genesis is not God the Father that did that? He gave the command. But it was Jesus Christ. That's what the Word says. By him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And for him. Wow. Yeah. These are very powerful. And as I said, brethren, it's sad when you don't understand or you don't believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because all of these, the Bible in Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ will inherit all things. Yeah. All things, everything. Everything, not just a few things. We can read that in Hebrews 1. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. So even in Hebrews, we move away from the synoptic gospels, even in here again the theme is being played out about father. We hear so many mentioned. The model prayer that Jesus gave us, our Father who art in heaven. In Revelation 22, we see the kingdom of God, the new heaven and the new earth coming down to earth. And who is with them? Yahweh. So you see the Father now coming into full recognition into the New Testament. And again, when he brings in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all angels of God worship him. Unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Forever and ever and ever. To which, verse 13, to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand, and I make thine enemies thy footstool. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? We are the heirs of salvation. We are the heirs. So Jesus Christ will inherit all things. All things. And we see the earth that was, I mean, the universe that was created through him. Of course, by command of the Father. There are some people, yes, as I go back to the Jesus only people who misinterpret, like for example in John 10:30, he said, I and the Father are one. That statement caused a lot of consternation among the Jews. He said, I have Father are one. So they, you know, Jesus only said, see, just one Jesus, just Jesus alone. The Pharisees, on the other hand, the religious order of the day, said, how dare you claim affinity or claim that you are equal, or you and the Father, you and Yahweh are one. So, brethren, as I wind down, I expect that as we go nearer to the return of Jesus Christ, and that prophecies are coming, the puzzle is fitting up, all the different prophetic events will come at some point into fuller intensity, and as they come to a grand climax, we're going to see all some of these concepts or misconceptions about who God is playing out. People are not going to be, you know, and thanks for that sermon that Brother Vic, it's all about me, you know, that's the me thing we see going to play out, what I can get out of this. And that's why it's so critical for our efforts to reach people, because there's a lot they can get out for themselves. Because what greater reward we can have than to have a place in the kingdom of God? What greater reward? So if they're really thinking about me, well, they should channel their energy in the right direction to get something very fulfilling than just something that is just going to pass in a fleeting moment. Because all that points to this earth is they will just disappear in a fleeting moment, whether it's a big car or whatever the case may be. So, you know, it's there. And God is calling many people. And we can only hope, as God calls, that they will hear and answer his call. I'm just going to leave with a few scriptures, because I didn't have the time to go. Some proofs that, you know, we can use, or some arguments that you can use to show who really is God of the Old Testament. John 1, we well went over that, but Revelation 19:13 shows that God, Jesus, existed before the beginning of the universe, that he was very God. John 8:57-58, John 8:57-58, and John 17:5, Jesus existed before Abraham, and he called himself, I am. Isaiah, yes, in Isaiah 43:11, Jesus called, or it refers to God as Savior. And only Jesus we know is Savior. So Isaiah 43:11 and 45:21. Also, Hosea 13, verse 4, Titus 3:4, 2 Timothy 1:10. Jesus referred to, but we can concentrate on the Old Testament, Hosea and Isaiah. Jesus referring to him as Savior. That is not God the Father, that's Jesus for sure. Micah prophesied that the Messiah would be from everlasting, another way of saying he always existed. Micah 5:2. No one has seen or heard the Father, yet the God of the Old Testament was seen and heard by some, meaning this must have been the one who later came as Jesus Christ. Exodus, another one I didn't touch on, Exodus 24:9-11. I think that's just about it. But brethren, it's, as I said, the concept of who this God is very key to understanding what God, how his redemptive plan has played out, and some of the reasons perhaps why that relationship of being a father was not fully magnified in the Old Testament, but more so we saw it when Jesus came, the Son, the only begotten Son came in the New Testament. Then he showed and he talked. He didn't apologize. He made no compromise about who this Father was. And he gave him his right honor, that he was the one who sent me. That yes, and he also claimed, reinforced his own stance, his own status of the I am of the Old Testament. So I hope we can benefit from this as we prepare for the celebration of his return, which is the Feast of Trumpets, coming up on September 6th. So thank you very much.